This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Folks, you're all very welcome to another bonus episode. This time, it's a new show we've done for a bit of a laugh, but also to address some issues that need to be addressed. It was with Average Joe Miller from Not To View chatting to myself, and what a laugh we had. We put it out on Celtic Fanzine TV on our YouTube channel, so if you can visit that and subscribe, that would be great. But we've decided to put them out as podcasts as well, because some people prefer to listen to the audio, going for a stroll with the dog, or maybe driving somewhere. So thanks for the continued support, and here's Talk From The Terraces.
So folks, here we are again. Episode one of the Celtic Soul podcast. I had Joe Miller on, or Average Joe Miller, as he's known around the upper class drinking establishments of Glasgow, i.e. McCool's. And we have now on the first of what we haven't really got a name for it, but what we might call it, the Celtic Daz, as a bit of rebellion against all you young podcasters out there. So us old boys, we're striking back. Joe, so there you go, Joe. You're very welcome to the Celtic Daz.
Good to see you again, Andrew. Cheers, mate.
Yeah, Joe, it's been great looking at you during lockdown on your world tour of beers.
I kind of like to explore a wee bit, but we've got a campaign on against Guinness just now, because when we get cans of Guinness over here, it doesn't fill your pint glass. It's 4.40. So when you guys get cans of Guinness over there, it fills your pint glass. We don't. So
yeah, well, you know,
I just want to plug that. There's a campaign going on with my good friends at Guinness.
These are our first world problems, Joe.
I know. I might send some muscle down to Dublin and see if you can sort them out. Do you know anybody?
Oh, I wouldn't know anyone of them that moved in 30 seconds. Joe, I love your T-shirt.
Thanks very much. It's a proud of Glasgow.
Some beautiful colours, isn't it?
Yeah, rainbow colours. Yeah, it's a proud of doing well. Eighth in the league just now for Kedash. The usual St. Pauli, good start, really slumped in the middle, but absolutely flying again. So, looking good, mate.
Yeah, it's great to see our good friends over in Hamburg doing well. Good anti-fascist club, anti-racism. Joe, we've had racism in the news constantly these days. Kamara at Rangers, that guy got a 10-match ban, and Kamara got a 3-match ban for his reaction.
Was it for his reaction, or was it not for? Was there not the guy attacked inside the underneath the tunnel and all that?
Oh, maybe you're right, Joe, and maybe I'm wrong.
I think I've not read up. I knew it came out just now. Yeah,
and hopefully now that I believe he's come out and thanked the Celtic support. Well, his solicitor was on today saying that, you know, United football fans, no matter what team they're from, and rightly so. But hopefully now this will be the start of Rangers getting their house in order, or Sevco, or whatever we call them now, because they have huge internal problems when it comes to racism within their support.
Well, everybody agrees it's against racism. It's ridiculous, and everybody supports the player there and what happened to him. But it's quite rich coming from the mouthpieces of a lot of Rangers. You know, it's we totally avoid the question of sectarianism and all the rest of it. But I'm not going to take that away from what happened to the guy. It was still ridiculous. It happens too often in football. It's not the first case. It won't be the last case. And the authorities still don't take any action on it, really. Match bans for the players, that's not good enough. It really isn't. A few match bans, that's nothing.
Yeah, and then he'll probably appeal it as well. And then after the Euros, because it's an international ban, he can still play domestically, I believe. And he'll probably appeal it. And then after the Euros, he'll take his ban for a couple of games, you know.
Yeah.
Something like the call would carry on.
Yeah, everything has to be addressed. McLean, does his name get mentioned when all these things are brought up, the abuse he gets playing football? No, it's never linked in. It's never linked in as a story and go, right, well, there's something happening here. Well, here's something happening with this player in our own country, with our own UK players or UK-based players, whatever, UK football clubs. But nothing is getting addressed with the abuse he's getting. And it's not any different. Now, what's his face that used to play with Rangers, Broadfoot, got a massive ban for sectarian abuse against James McLean. And it was reported as if it was nothing. But it was a massive ban he got. But that's on the carpet. It's not really. Everything should be called out. I'm for everything getting called out if it's out of order. You can't just pick one thing and go, yeah, that's the one I'm happy with. But I'm not really bothered about the rest of them. It's not the way the world should work.
Yeah, and Joe, it's funny you should bring up McLean, because he's always in our thoughts and our minds the whole time. When we do speak about racism and sectarianism and anti-Irish, the anti-Irish brigade throughout Britain.
Yeah.
But it's funny, it was Peter Hooton from The Farm when he was on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and he brought up the treatment McLean gets. He brought up the whole Poppy thing. And like, because he's wrote the song altogether now.
Yeah.
And he explained what the song was about, you know, and went deep into the Poppy and gave a great account of, you know, someone who's been brought up in England. And it was great to hear. It was so refreshing to hear him come out and speak up for McLean when we're talking about, you know, racism and sectarianism in football. And it was him that brought it up, which was great.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and you know the treatment. Now, we have spoken about it many times, about not just people in public life. Now, myself and I, you and I have spoken about this just in our normal life, my background. And it's kind of acceptable sectarianism, especially anti-Irish as well. It's kind of acceptable, and it's not to be addressed, it's not to be spoken about, but it should be, because all these things link in with each other, you know. It's they're all the same to me, you know. It's abusers are getting away with it, and that's it.
And we've had it at the highest this week with the death of
Philip who? Who's dead?
Well, Philip Windsor, or whatever he's called, the Mountbatten.
God's sake, you think that would have been on the news?
Yeah, Joe, you would, wouldn't you? But, like, we've got now, I've seen the BBC playing down, you know, every racist remark the man has made over his life. And they're playing it down as this funny joker man, you know. This is a person
it's called speaking his mind.
Yeah, who I believe, now, I wouldn't be a follower of the Windsors or the Mountbattens or whatever they call themselves. But I was reading the piece. It was actually Paddy McMenamin sent it to me. It was from an Iranian journalist on Al Jazeera, on their website. And he had written a piece about the BBC and how they were dealing with these comments that was made and playing them down. And one of the comments was he'd been to Africa and he'd asked one of the tribes women, I'm not sure, you know, what tribe it was. I think it was in Kenya. And he'd asked one of the women, was she a woman?
Yeah, that's right. I've seen
and it's just kind of, you know, and that's supposed to be funny. And then, you know, you've got UEFA now on a kind of different ground, on a sporting ground, who, you know, the Black Lives Matter, but they don't really matter because Big Miz matters for them. You know, you've got a World Cup and Qatar. I'm going on a rant now, Joe, but you've a World Cup and Qatar where, like, hundreds of workers dying on the job. Dying to walk, basically, you know, after being awarded this World Cup corruptly. And it's just, like, the whole world is just, Joe, it's tits up.
Yeah. Well, there's the thing with the Black Lives Matter as well, is there was a lot of Rangers fans really going against that. What the fuck is my club doing that for and all the rest of it? And a lot of people were against that in the football sense. And, yeah, they've totally jumped over to, oh, racism is bad and we shouldn't, that guy is getting racially abused. But a few weeks before that, they were going, stop taking the knee. I just don't understand. You know, I do understand because they're just doing it. They're playing to it. They're not actually thinking about that guy as an individual and how he felt getting abused. They're just playing it. A lot of these fans.
Yeah, and like next week it'll be forgotten about, and it'll be back to, you know, Zeke Olin and loads. And you see, but Joe, I wrote a piece I think last week. You know, we have to look within our own support as well, because you know we have to have a grown up debate about calling people, you know, a singing orange bastard at the games. I think because if we're going to be calling people out, we need to look from within, you know. Because we've had, like, you know, a long time ago we had racist issues ourselves, but we got rid of them. And
well, not quite so much got rid of them. It's only a few seasons ago we won the League Cup at Aberdeen. And, it was very difficult to get tickets for that. And I was standing there. And I only got one out of the group, so I just drove up myself and took one of my mates with us. He was standing over away from us at the time. And Logan got the ball, and a guy in front of me, an older guy, he wasn't a young guy, had the hoops on everything, actually shouted, "You black bastard." And I reacted right away, and I went, fucking gone for him. But what, just beside me, right away, young team as well went for him. And the guy.
That's positive, isn't it?
Yeah, but the guy bolted, double quick time. But that just shows you there is, and he felt quite safe shouting it at first. But obviously, there was a reaction, and the young team followed him, rightly so, but I think he actually managed to go up to stewards and police. That's what he actually done and got away. But that's what he shouted, you know? So I know we're not any moral ground to say we're better than somebody else. We do have them in our support, but thank God we react to it and pull them up for it.
Yeah, and it's great that the young team acted as well, Joe.
Yeah, of course.
Because we can be proud of some of the young team that's coming up.
As well, Andrew, if a guy turned back me, I'm a lover, not a fighter. So the young team would have had to have moved
down. You've a face of a lover, enemy.
I love always having a bit of humour with you.
I told you we should have scripted this.
A serious issue, straight into comedy.
Yeah, well, look, if anyone's wondering why my head is so red, I was out in the sun today and... I've a head like a beetroot.
And you can see I've still got my natural tan from Glasgow.
Yeah, Joe, your beautiful baby face.
I'm sitting in dim light trying to make myself look better.
I thought it was a carbon cutout when I logged on first. But, right, I will move on. Move the conversation on because obviously this is the first episode. We don't know where it's going to go. By now everybody's switched off.
As long as we enjoy ourselves.
Anyway, Joe, right. So when we done we're back doing Celtic AM as a virtual thing, and it was I have to say it was brilliant putting it together, and we've another one coming out on Saturday, Sunday. I don't know, we might put it out Saturday evening. And it was just the fun I had putting it together was great, because especially when people were sending me the videos, because some of them were just, you know, some people are great and they'll send the video, but other people will just send you one that you know you can't use. So the crack I had, and like Daniel's who's doing the editing on the stuff, so he's here, and like, just to even have someone close to have a bit of crack with, you know, instead of just, because everything's done online now because of these lockdowns, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing that came out of that was when I was asking people for their favourite cup final memories or cup memories, was giving Maggie Thatcher the red card.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was a Not the View initiative. So, but it was yours, the Not the View done it for a visit to Ibrox. Can you give us a bit of the story behind that?
Yeah, we did it first. Basically, the cup final one is based on what we did at Ibrox. Funny enough, there's a St. Pauli connection in this. Jerry, who the editor of Not the View, he was actually over in Hamburg and went to a St. Pauli game. And this was way back in the early 80s and might even have been late 70s, knowing him. And he went to one of the guys, Big Rudy, who's a HSB, great, massive Celtic fan, took him to see St. Pauli just to pass the time and have a bit of crack. And he said there was this big guy just shouting and bawling and pulled out a red card every time the ref done something, just one guy on his own. So obviously, that stuck in Jerry's head. So when we were, obviously, we were going to Ibrox, I think it was his 88 season, and we got to play Rangers, and they were getting players sent off every time they played us. So we ran a kind of bookies line in the magazine, who was going to get sent off first and all the rest of it, you know. And then Jerry did this, he goes, I remember being back in Hamburg, this madman with a red card, and kept shouting, I think we should do it, put it in the issue. Yeah, definitely, let's go for it. And it was at Ibrox, and it was just, I see a red card, man. It was brilliant, you know. And of course, they did get a player sent off, and even the moustache Souness looked over and gave a grin, you know. It was just like every decision, man, all you see was these red cards going up. It was absolutely genius. It was like before choreographed displays were done and all that. So it was just one of these genius ideas that was stuck in the back of his head for a previous engagement, you know. So it was just so good, and everybody was talking about it. It was, you could see it was bits on TV, and it was in the news, sports reports and all that, and it was just a great talking point because it was so different from what we're used to now in football at games, what you see. And then that carried on. I think it was the trade unions and all that, because Maggie was there and all that. And then people were just doing it off their own back. Show Thatcher the red card. So we were obviously dead pleased with that as well. We thought, brilliant, that's getting carried on, especially against the Witch. So that was excellent.
Yeah, it's brilliant, Joe. I wasn't at that final. I've said it numerous times, you know, if I could climb into a time machine. That's the one I'd love to go back to, because it just must have been just to give it to her, you know. And Rangers would have loved the opportunity to get a picture with her in the cup, you know. But no, that's, it's them bloody Irish again going up and spoiling it for everybody.
Yeah, I know. It was just great. A bit of Scots Irish or a rebel against Thatcher, you know. It's just fantastic.
Paul Heaton, it remarks that, you know, most of the north of England would have joined the Celtic fans that day and gave Maggie the red card.
Oh yeah, definitely. People with a bit of just natural goodness in their heart would do that, you know, to a gold witch. You know, it was a publicity stunt for her that turned, you know. She liked that kind of confrontation, you know, but everybody talks about the red card, so don't talk about her. It was just about the red card, really, and showing her one to tell her to get to.
Yeah. And here, back to that Oibrox game. Was there any red cards in it?
There was. I'm trying to remember who it was, but there was a red card. I think it might have been was it Nisbet? I need to look it up, Andrew, to be honest. I should have done my homework, but that's the kind of guys.
Yeah, but the reason why I didn't ask do any homework because I just wanted this to be a chat and off the cuff.
As off the cuff. Yeah, they definitely did something sent off, definitely, because I think that's when, and then later on, as soon as came on, he was player manager at the time. So he came on. So I think that's when they gave the grin up to the whole Celtic fans all going red cards, you know. Genius idea. Absolutely genius.
It was those red cards as red as my face. It's getting worse as I laugh.
The red card edition you've come out dressed up.
Brilliant. Now listen, Joe, I was going to ask you to pick the team that's starting on Sunday and to give us all the stats and you know, to get your board out and show us where all the people. We leave that to the experts.
Foxy. That's not going to be, isn't it?
Oh, that's definitely for sure. Right, so we've done the red card and now we're going to move on to, I suppose we'll just move on to Sunday, Joe. It's massive. It's a massive game, isn't it?
It's bloody typical when we're pretty shit. We get to play them in an early round in the cup. It always seems to be when we're shit. It's never when they're shit. And that's taking out both teams' carnations of them. So it's. I enjoyed the game against Libby there. Yeah, a lot of people say it's Libby, you know, that could easily have been another fall for us, but I thought we played quite well. Definitely having James Forrest back gives us that width and stretches the team across, and it puts other players in their natural position. So I think he's quite vital to be fit against them. I hope he is. He doesn't really produce it against them a lot. Took him a while to even score against them, but I just think getting that shape will help us to go there. And obviously we played well in the last game and never got the result right enough, so we need to make that right. When we create chances, we need to put them in the back of the net, and I just think the shape of the team should be good if James is fit.
Yeah, with the exception of the first game, Joe, against them at Sally Park this season when we were fucking terrible. Like, we've been the better team for long periods in the games.
Yeah, I don't see the thing is, see if you don't get a result, being the better team to me doesn't really matter because you still need to win that game. They used to say that to us quite a bit as well. Oh, we played you after the park. Look at the score. At the end of the day, the score is what matters. So even that game, that last game at Ibrox, when we should have won, they didn't even have a shot at goal. The goal they got was an OG. So they didn't even register one shot on target and still managed to win that game. So that's all that matters at the end of it. So, yeah, I want us to go in. Look, we can play shite and win it. I'm happy. I'd rather we play well and win. That makes me happier. So I don't really like that we were better than you on the day. You're only better if you score the goals.
Yeah, and it won't really wash, I suppose, Joe, this week because it's a cup game. No, and yeah, it's our chance.
Yeah, I know. Can imagine it now. See if you said that last season, going into this season, that your last chance of winning something and domestically is a Scottish Cup game. You wouldn't believe it, you know. You could maybe say a freak result in the League Cup, but no, that wasn't a freak result with a pish. Didn't expect us to be this bad in the league, and now we're hanging on to a game now that kind of we're all in our hearts going, please win this. But there's no point in winning this one and then going out the next one, the next round. We need to be confident enough to go all the way and win it. That's, to me, is more important than just winning this game. Yeah, we need to win this game, of course we do, but we need to win the final. We need to get to the final and we need to win it. And these group of players haven't really... Sorry.
Right, let's go.
These group of players haven't really produced and performed every week to do that. So that's a massive worry for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed the game on Saturday because as bad and as being this season, you know, it's something to look forward to, even sitting watching it on your own. It's just because, you know, with nothing happening, Joe, with no gigs and, you know, no travel, no football, like, to sit down and then to watch them play well. And then the first comment I got off from the boys was, "Oh, but sure, it means nothing. And you're going to go. Just give me 5 minutes to enjoy the result and the goals and the performance. You know, it's just sure, it means nothing."
And that's just, I know. There was a lot of that. It's too late and all the rest of it. Well, I said to a few of my mates, we all do chats when the game's on. So I'm in various chats with a few supporters, clubs, and mates, and that. So there's a lot of banter going about, which kind of helps when you're sitting, as you say, watching it yourself. And a few guys are going, "Ah, it means nothing." And I went, "Well, it means something because the following week we've got a cup game and we really need to win that." And as I said just there, we need to take that forward to the next round and obviously final and win it and give something back to us poor buggers that have been sitting in the house watching this unfold all season. You know, behind cushions, behind bloody fingers, behind bottles of whiskey, everything, you know. Nothing could hide the pain.
Yeah, like there was started off, you know, we'll get a bit of form, you know, it's only one game. Right. And then oh no, we'll get a bit of form. And I finished off headbutting the wall.
Absolute murder. What a season.
Oh, it's fucking been a disaster, all right. And like it's been so sad. It's like that even to sit here and have a laugh about it is just, it's painful.
I know. Well, look, see, we are laughing and it is good because we know the misery, but
It's been shocking.
It's been an absolute disaster on and off the park. A wee bit of seriousness here, you. Total disaster of a season. Lessons need to be learned, but it's look, we need to start moving forward. And without getting into all the new CEO and all the rest of it, and he has to be given an opportunity. I don't want to linger on it too much, but he has to be given an opportunity. Stamp down what he wants to do. If Dermot Desmond says, "No, I want it to go this way," well, the guy should walk and just say, "Well, it's not for me. If you want to do it, you do it then." You know, he has to come in with his own ideas and his own vision and hopefully get a manager that does the same. Too much interference isn't good.
Oh, there's been so much like speculation of interference from the boardroom. And when David Lowe was in the podcast, and he's kind of an insight into boardrooms because he was there with Fergus. And he said, don't know if you listen to it, Joe, but he says, you know, Fergus wouldn't allow any of the suits to interfere with football matters. You know, and like he wouldn't want any of them now. Like, you know, accountants should do what accountants do.
Yeah.
You know, and marketing exactly. People should do, and football people should do what football people do.
Andrew, a while back when we were really in the depths and all that, I tweeted something about the whole board. And then somebody said to me, "What the whole board, what the treasurer, this, that, and then." And I went, "Yeah, the whole bloody board are accountable, because if the treasurer isn't doing their job, everybody on that board has something to say about it. So the treasurer should have something to say if things aren't going right. If you've got a board and you're on it, you should be able to speak freely and question everything that's going on." And our board doesn't like that. It is basically Dermot and Peter. That's basically it.
The final word, I think, is Dermot's. No matter, you know.
And the final word is Dermot's. Of course it is. And that's not healthy. Then all the other board members are there just as a kind of to make up a boardroom table. They'd be better having you and I there. To at least once or maybe a couple of months, just to go, "No, he's a top pish. No, this is wrong. All right, you're going to do it, but I'm voicing my opinion."
That'd be so carry on.
I know. But that's about it. What's your other guy? There's the ex-Labour guy. And I just think, what the fuck is he on that board for? Because he doesn't seem to be in. Pairing the glasses. Oh, his name escapes me. It's ridiculous.
Did he not write a book on us?
Aye, he did. I know
what you're on about.
Oh, God. Forgive me.
Just goes to show you the age we're at now, Joe. You know, just forgetting.
I know. We just go on to him.
Yeah, you know your man.
Aye, your man. But you need a strong board to question everything, even if you know that it is Dermot and it's Peter Law. That was so unhealthy that board can't question that they're doing in the direction it's going. That's what you have a board for, you know, is to question everything. And the treasurer should be questioning everything else as well.
Yeah, it's only when you sit down, Joe. I sit down to write a piece on Peter Lawwell's time at Celtic. And as I was writing, you know, and the managers were coming in, I could see the interference that Martin O'Neill didn't have from Strachan coming in. When you look at some of the signings, you know, like nobody at the club knows why Thomas Gravesen was brought in. Nobody. You know, Roy Keane, you know, an injured, you know, player brought in that obviously Strachan didn't want. Paddy McCourt has said on a podcast that he was signed by, he was in talks, like he'd lit up the League of Ireland. He was in talks with two English clubs, and somebody that he knew or knew his agent was a friend of Dermot's. And he contacted Dermot and he said, look, there's this boy, Paddy McCourt, I think you should sign him. And Celtic signed him. And he says when he arrived on the training pitch for the first day that Gordon Strachan didn't know who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if Paddy's, you know, massaging the story for the enjoyment of the podcast or if that's true. But I know when he did arrive that he wasn't fit for about 6 months. So, so that was Strachan. And then the whole way through then, you know, there seems to have been interference with, you know, players right up to Brendan leaving with that player, that fullback that went to Valencia. So there seems to be, and then obviously it went from, not only was there interference with the playing staff, there was interference with you couldn't bring in your coaching team. You know, the coaching team was picked for you. The recruitment team was picked for you. So, you know, like, I suppose we grew up with like characters like, well, you're older than me, so you'd remember the late part of Jock Steen, you know, Billy at the club, and like just managers now seem to be, they just like this whole system, if this is the way it is, director of football, it's a coach. I always remember Pochettino coming out when he was Tottenham manager saying, you know, no, that's nothing to do with me, I'm the coach. He was asked if the players coming in or something, and he was gone shortly after that because obviously the hierarchy at Tottenham went, you know, you can't do that. But he brings them to a Champions League final. And he finds himself out of a job because he speaks out about the recruitment. And I think that's just the way football seems to be gone, Joe. And it needs to be addressed at the new. If we're going to get a top manager in to bring the club forward and a director of football that you can work with, well, as fans, I think we should know. We should be told by the club, look, this is the model. This is the long-term model. This is what we're going to do going forward. Because at the moment, I'm about to lose my bet on Eddie Howe every game John Kennedy's the manager.
Football's changed, we know that. The Jock and his team of Sean Fallon, Neely Morgan, Jimmy Steele and Masseur, all these names, and Benny Rooney and all these guys were known to us as Celtic fans. They were part, that was a part of the team that made the team. So these were all figures that I kind of grew up with and knew off the heart. So, and then when you come to modern day football, I just don't understand how, as a football manager, you won't have your own staff there who you can rely on. Now, I can get the attitude of, no, you can't bring everybody. You can bring who you, within reason. But managers tend to like to have the people they trust and people who have had a bit of success with round about them. And this kind of director of football thing who buys players in and kind of push, forces them on, or, and the manager doesn't know. Why would you be a manager of a team and have to put success on the park and for not any input on who you can put on the park? I just, that managers should have, as you say, the guy spoke out and then he got into a cup final, spoke out, and then that's him gone. So I think more managers shouldn't just accept that this is the norm and this is the way it's got to be. They should stand up and go, well, no, you bought that player, I didn't buy that player. I didn't want that player, I'm not playing that player. Oh, well, if you don't play the player, you're off. Right, I'm off. Yeah. You know, it's. I don't want to hear the story after it all. I don't want to hear Brendan. You know, there is a story to be told there with Brendan Rodgers and why he left and all the rest of it. I don't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. I know I've heard stories about it, but I don't want to hear it after that. That should have been told at the time.
Yeah.
What it was with 100%, Brendan.
Joe.
Yeah, and I still think he was wrong leaving us in the lurch, no matter what was going on behind the scenes. And if he did want to leave us at that time, he should have just come out and told us why. You know, it was a ridiculous time he left us in the lurch for a Celtic man to do that, a supposedly Celtic man to do that. No, that doesn't wash with me. He should have told us at the time, guys, sorry, I'm out of here because of... You know, I don't want to read it in about next year or 2 years' time and get the full exclusive story of Celtic at that time. That's not good to us. We're there every week. We need to know now. I'd have more respect for him if he just come out and says, couldn't have worked with that man. That was the final straw. That was me done. Fine. Yeah. I'd take that. No problem.
But it doesn't work like that, Joe, because he's going to have new employers, and if it doesn't work at Leicester, he's going to be looking for another employer, and that employer's going to say, well, I'm not hiring Brendan Rodgers because he's too outspoken and he's going to come out. They all cover their backs, Joe. They all look after number one, you know. It's like the footballers. You know, the kids queue up for an autograph or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, the days of the Tommy Bones and the Paul Max days are long gone.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I am. Joe, I won't get you crying because we always have a laugh. And I tell you, Joe, I'm missing our after games in McCool's.
And
that game we play, whose round is it anyway?
Sorry to
anyone watching in, but it's Joe always avoids buying the first drink and he always leaves the last drink.
You always make sure I'm in the pub when you walk in, and that's how you go right
out. I'd be standing around the corner waiting to see if you've gone in, and once you're standing at the bar, it pop up behind you.
I know, and Nicky's pissing himself laughing behind the bar because he knows you're just hanging about the corner.
Well, yeah, it just happened at McCool's. Wasn't it great that they got the crowdfunder and, you know, we have a pub to go back to?
I know. It's brilliant, man. It's not just for us after the football. You know what it's like. They do a lot for the local charities round about, help people out. They've done stuff for refugees, book launches, and then gigs, all the rest. They've helped loads of people out and it's not just a pub. It's, you know, as you know what pubs are like, they're local. It's my local. It's in the city centre, but it's my local.
Yeah.
It's got a heart in it, you know, and I think a lot of people dismiss pubs a lot and don't understand what it means to walk in. Yeah, you can be, there's times I just walk in and it's just a cracking feeling. You see somebody you're not seeing for ages. You get a blather, you catch up with their life and what's going on, and these places have got souls, whereas your Wetherspoons and all these ones are just heartless, you know. It's just sum up what modern society is, you know, to me, these Wetherspoons, you know, to a place like McCool's, you know.
McCool's is I love it, you know, and like I remember when the first time I went into it, and it was by chance, and I couldn't believe that there was a pub full of Celtic supporters that liked the same music as me. Brilliant, you know, because you know yourself, like a lot of the bars you're in, you listen to the ballads or the Rebs, but you know McCool's, you can be listening to anything.
Well, you know what McHugh's like. You get a bit of Celtic stuff and for a bit before the game and a wee bit after it, and then you're bang into tunes and you don't even notice it so much because you're just singing away and you've went from one era of music into the next. And it's just, I love it. Funk, soul and disco dancing, it's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. You know, I called the podcast after it, you know, Celtic Soul.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it's just one of them bars that I do miss, and I miss Nicky, and I used to go down in the mornings before he'd open for a cup of coffee and a chat.
Yeah,
if I was hanging around for lunchtime fly, and he'd be cleaning up after the night before and that, but we had a great chat, and he's just such a wise old man, and you know, such a cool old man, and
yeah.
A good listener and can tell you some great stories about Glasgow over the years.
Yeah, your knowledge about things worldwide is amazing. It's great to just chew the fat with them. It really is.
Yeah, no, we certainly miss McCool. So I think we're going to leave it at that for our full Celtic dance. I don't know how long we spoke for, but I have to go and put my head in a bucket of cold water.
I thought you just got embarrassed because you went to buy a pint.
Oh, you know, I'll be hiding around that corner when I get back. Don't you worry. Joe, so I'll talk to you again then on, hopefully we'll get this Celtic Dad things going because I enjoyed the chat. It was a bit, you know, the next time I'll have to get some questions and rehearse maybe because, you know, yeah. Because of your knowledge of the 442 and the 356 and the 31879. The old pal, Joe Miller. It's great. The average Joe Miller from Not a View, who has been around the block a couple of times. Good anti-fascist, good anti-racist, great football man, great friend. Not too fond of buying the fourth point. But, folks, this will be our fourth thing of the weekend as we build up to the big Glasgow derby against the new club. And hopefully we get a result. With Paul Heaton on the podcast tomorrow night. And then on either Saturday evening or Sunday morning, we've Celtic AM with Scott McDonald, Kieran Kenny, David Potter, a couple of friends like Joe, and I think that's it. Oh, myself, yeah, I'm on it as well. So thanks for tuning in. And if you want to come along and give us your Celtic Dad stories, don't forget to send us an email or contact us through social media. It's a deadly. Thank you. Joe, thanks very much.
Cheers, Andrew.
Folks, I hope you enjoyed that. If you would like to support us, as all our content is free across all our channels, you can do so by visiting CelticFanzine.com. You can do so by visiting CelticFanzine.com, where you can sign up to become a member. You can subscribe to the fanzine. You can buy some of our t-shirts or merch. Or you can also donate if you enjoy listening or watching the shows for the price of a pint. And if you're a non-drinker, for the price of a cup of coffee. Stay tuned. Stay safe, folks. Keep the faith, and don't forget, Paul Heaton Part 2 is up on Friday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OSEAMalibu.com, code MOM.